Fontana, good to have you here this morning. Good to have each and every one of you here. I think in this class right now, Bill and Joanne and Anna and Fernando are the originals of this class. And Brother Dave has been coming for quite a few years. How long you been coming, Brother Dave? Long time, 10 years, something like that. Brother Roger just found us not long ago, and they used to say that I was the best kept secret at Valley Baptist Church for many, many years. They didn't know I was here, but they put me in the newspaper. They do all kinds of stuff. Used to, when I started teaching the new Greek class, we'd have 100 people in the Greek class. Remember that? We had 100 people in the Greek class, people from coming all over and everything else. They'd go to one Greek class and scare them to death, and they wouldn't come back.
Yep.
But we had some that was tough enough to stay. Brother Bill stayed here for 96 or 97 classes in the book of Revelation from Greek. And there are some of them up there that was 12 years ago. There's some of those up on the...
It seems like it's been that long ago, Jim. Every day is like a new week to me.
Yeah, 12. Yeah. Well, that's the way it is when you... You can look back 50 years. There is 40 years of my ministry on the website now. 40 years. That's a long time. 40 years. I have evolved. If some of you go back and... How many of you ever heard me preach 30 or 40 years ago? Any of you gone over there and listened that long ago? You'll find out that I've learned a lot. You have to realize 30 years ago I had a doctorate. I guarantee you one thing. Since I got out of school, I've learned a whole lot more than I did while I was in school. A doctorate only gives you a license to learn. I have continued teaching classes just like I taught in the seminary and tried to make them interested, flavor them with a little stories here and there and everything else, trying to build it up. Hi. Brother Ken. And Alma, I tell you what, come up here. Yeah.
You know, I can't around.
Yeah. Come. We got the camera on. Come up here. We're going to show you all. Yes, sir. This is my student. Brother Ken, come up here. This is my student that went back to Louisville, Kentucky in the Greek class, and they started teaching the Greek preposition, the action. He said, yes, extension and limitation, the thought of the verbal action, page 119. Yeah? Yeah. Anyway, how are you doing in Utah?
Doing well. We're doing all right.
Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Yeah.
Slow. We're going.
Well, that's good. We're doing slow here, too. Nobody's here. They're all gone on vacation.
That's how summers are.
Yeah.
That's how summers are.
All right. And that boy there is growing up here. He's last time he was in class, he was this tall, I think.
He's little.
Fell off the building out there.
He's going to be 19 next month.
19 years old.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about what's going on. You're on camera. We're going to put you out there if that's all right.
I
just want you to know that.
Yeah, that's a shame.
We have video on the website now.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
We haven't done video yet.
All right, over 200 videos.
Well, we're in Magna, Utah, and we're starting a new church there called Sojourn, and we've been working on it for a few years, and we're really small, but we're plugging away one family at a time, so we're really enjoying it.
That's good, brother. That's really good. It's good to have you here.
Yeah. We wanted to surprise you, but we got kind
of... Well, I tell you what, you sure did. That girl, well, Alma walked in here and said, I know that girl. And then you come in here and said, boy, I guess so, I know that girl.
Please,
anyway,
please.
It's good. Alma, do you want to come up here too? I know that...
Oh.
Mormonism.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's obvious.
I think it's the
biggest.
I think it's like your friend Justin.
Well, there's two difficulties really. There's those who believe that the LDS Church is the only true church, and is also a Christian. The other one is the people who the LDS Church has peeved off, and they want nothing to do with anything anymore. Okay. They don't trust anybody. So we have friends that are both, you know, this is the only church, everything else is messed up. And we have other friends that will talk to us but will never come to anything because they don't trust. So that, and both of them are a result of the same people.
Yeah.
So that's the biggest thing is that you don't trust.
When you get wrong on God, you sure mess everything up, don't you?
Oh, geez, it's terrible.
Yeah. When you're wrong on God, there is no salvation.
No.
Yeah, and you know one thing, it's Antichrist.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
No doubt. It's Antichrist. It's Antichrist.
Yeah.
Mormonism is Antichrist. That's it.
It's anti everything. Well, the way I describe it is, you think about the main theological tenets of Christianity. Well, they deny the reality of who God is. They believe He was a sinner like you and me. They deny who Jesus is. He's a created being, and He's the brother of Satan, and He didn't die for us on the cross to pay for our sins. The cross is meaningless to them. You just think about, you just remember where the cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. They deny who the Holy Spirit is. They kind of don't even have a place for Him. They deny the reality and the horrendousness of sin, because they say that Eve's sin in the garden was a good thing, and it was ordained by God, that God wanted her to sin in the garden. So you think about, they deny who God is, they deny who Jesus is, they deny who Holy Spirit is, they deny what sin, how bad sin really is, and then they deny that they're totally depraved and they need God. So it's just,
how can you help? It's hard to touch.
What did you say about wrong?
Oh, they love him
to death. Of course. They've been trying to get a president in for 150 years.
It's been the case from their inception and their initial coming to Utah that they wanted their own little kingdom, their own little empire. They wanted to be in charge. They had initially set up what they called Deseret. And if you hear about Mormon stuff, you hear Deseret quite a bit.
The newspapers and all.
Yeah, the Deseret newspaper, Deseret Industries is kind of like Salvation Army. But Deseret was their kingdom, and it encompassed Utah, Idaho,
Nevada,
Arizona, New Mexico, parts of Texas. And that was going to be their kingdom, and then Joseph Smith, before he died, was going to be the king. But what happened was, there's silver in Nevada. The Mormons don't get Nevada now. There's this, that, and the other resources in these other states. So they kind of got shrunk up until what we are, Utah is today. But before, they were enormous, the state was.
And they wanted to have a nation.
Yeah.
And they've been trying to, they wanted Joseph Smith to run for president. And I guarantee you, he did.
He did.
They have been trying to get a president of the United States. And when they do, Katie, bar the door. That's all I can say to you. Katie, bar the door. It's over.
Well, I didn't want him, but I really don't want the other guy. But I don't want him because he's bound to the prophet more so than the Catholic is bound to the Pope.
Yeah.
So that's scary because, in effect, what could happen is Salt Lake starts running the country.
Yes. And it will. He will put most powerful people in every place. Yeah. And the Mormon Church is, they have more money than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
And here we got off on politics. They can back him. There is no way that anybody can compete against their money. There's no way.
Well, that's what the church is about. The church is about money and power.
Yeah. That's it.
You think about all the, they almost have 200 temples. So you think about all their ward houses they have everywhere, probably four or five times that many, all around the world. Every single penny of tithe that goes into any of those places every Sunday evening gets zapped back into a bank in Salt Lake City. Salt Lake controls all the Mormon money everywhere in the world. That's how they can come into a community and just build a building. Because they have funds. And
everybody tithes.
They have to.
They have to tithe. It's a mandatory. It's a state church. And that's exactly what, that's the way it was any place in the world.
They come to my door twice a year, these little kids, and the little kids are elders, right?
Wow.
They're like, I think it's above 8 years old. Is it above 8? 12? Well, they come. They're dressed up in their Sunday best.
Wow.
you know, which I don't do very well with, as you can tell. But they'll come in their suits and ties, and they'll have a little bag, and they'll say, fast offering. They'll come to your home and ask for the offering. And I go, I'm the Mormon. And they kind of look at each other, and they take off. But they do that twice a year. They'll come around, they'll come to your home.
Once a month?
Do it once a month?
Sunday of the month.
Oh, then we haven't seen them for a while then.
Yeah.
They know about us then.
They know you.
They
mark me too.
We have an LDS family that comes to our church. I say they're Mormon in the morning and Baptist in the evening. But they are. They're actually...
It's hard to get it out of them.
They know a biblical and they believe a biblical theology, but they're socially tied to the LDS church. So that's the hardest part to cut.
They're indoctrinated.
It's not indoctrination, it's brainwashing.
Yeah.
It's absolute brainwashing. It's a wicked brainwashing.
The women can't get to heaven. They have to have a Mormon man because a woman has no eternal soul without a man.
Yeah,
and that's
it's
just like Muslim.
We would kind of want to believe that, because if she's not a good wife, you have no response. You don't have to pull her out of the grave. You could leave her.
They don't talk about that.
They don't talk about that, but you could, right?
Yeah.
So what does that do to the lady?
They're scared to death.
Bound to her husband, and bound in sin, and how's her joy in that? You're not with the guy because you love him. You're with him because he's going to call you out of the ground. And if you don't wait on him hand and foot...
She's under bondage.
Yeah, she is. She has no freedom.
Can I tell you what I seen, watched last year? I caught some of the television. I think I was where I caught it. They had one of their big shot prophets was an archaeologist. And spent his whole life studying...
Probably an apostle.
Well, they call him Father.
Apostle. An apostle. They've got 12, don't they?
They have 12 apostles, and they have quorums. Basically, think of the Catholic Church because they stole their hierarchy from them.
Well, he studied his whole life. Archaeology proved that the Mormon religion was true. And he said what he found out from the studies, there wasn't true. There was a false religion. He said every religion in history has archaeological sites and things.
Do they?
And that religious hill that they have back east that they claim that war, they have never found nothing on it.
They lie.
And they track DNA and everything. And he said what he came to the conclusion was is that the Mormon religion was a false religion. And so he left the Mormon religion, and it was a big stink over that.
Oh, yeah. They lie. They call it lying for the Lord. It's a thing that they do. And they lie for the Lord to protect the church. So, there's not one shred of archaeological or historical evidence to support anything they've ever said. But you'll have companies come to Utah and sell Holy Land tours. They'll load up Mormons on buses, but they'll sell them tickets, take them down to South America, show them a bunch of Inca ruins, and then all of a sudden it's a Mormon historical site. Mm-hmm. And they're cheating these people like crazy. It's like, I could tell you people that, Jesus came to California a long, long time ago. $150, jump in the cart, and we'll go look at it. You see that oil well right there? Jesus made that. That's basically what they're doing, because they weren't there. There's no proof that they came there, but they're saying they did. Oh, see that right there? Jesus did that for it. The Lamanites or they did it. And they're cheating these people because they're brainwashed.
Well, all the DNA, and one of the things that the Mormons say is that all of the evidence we have in DNA that prove the American Indian were Oriental,
it's false.
Now it's all false. It's false.
It's
because
been proven.
It's the devil. It's the devil. And so, a Christian has to have faith to believe beyond facts. You have to have faith to believe that the Book of Mormon is right. You have to have faith to believe that the Bible is right. Because there is no evidence to prove the Bible's right, and there's no evidence to prove that the Mormon, the Book of Mormon's right. But that's where the faith comes in. And you know that it's faith because you feel good.
Yeah.
And that's...
It's a feel-good religion. There's no thinking involved. I truly believe if they thought that they would leave.
Yeah.
There's no thinking involved at all. She's going to make again in front of the speaking camera.
Come up here. Come up. Because we can't hear you back there. The microphones are all up here. Come up here so they can see you, Alma. Come on. These are
a press briefing with all these cameras.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. It's NBC, CBS, NPR.
All the rotten ones.
Yeah.
But what they'll do is they'll tie every truth and falsehood to belief. So if you feel good about something, that means it's true. And you feel good about stuff that you like, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes in the Christian faith, you hear something in church, maybe Phil Rogers say something, it kind of hurts, doesn't it? Doesn't make you feel good.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's false. But they, if they feel bad, they automatically believe it's Satan talking to them. So the LDS Church is put in a system where you cannot be convicted. Because if you feel any kind of conviction, it's automatically from Satan. So what forgiveness and salvation begins with a contrite heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can't have that. Because if they feel it, it's Satan, and they get rid of it. So they built into their system, their brainwashing system, a way that they will not ask for forgiveness, or they will not be affected by the gospel.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but that's true. Anything that's...
Don't you leave us up here.
Contrary to... But what I was saying is a lot of the... You'll see a lot of people do come out. You know, there's not a... In comparison to the numbers, but there are. There's those people that God pulls out of them. And a lot of them, because they start reading... Somebody gives them something, or they start reading a hit. Especially their history. They're taught not to read anything. They call it anti-Mormon.
Yeah.
But if they read it in their own history, they can't deny that because it's their own stuff.
But they're told not to read their own history. You would be kicked out of the church if you tried to teach LDS history.
Well, church history, no, I'd be a bad boy.
You would be gone.
Well, Brother Ken, now, you know, you went to Cal State University. Did you go to Bakersfield College too?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. He went out there and he challenged their history programs because he had learned church history from me.
And
I remember.
And they don't teach church history out there.
Yeah. But I mean, he went out there and he said, he wrote a paper on why Baptists are not Protestants.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah,
I don't remember. That was out at Cal State.
Yeah.
And I had two or three do that. Bakersfield College and Cal State. And they challenged the teacher.
It just has to do with the continuing presence of the church throughout history that the historians deny.
The Pentecost one during like, what, 500 years?
Hear it. This is a product of our Sunday school classes, our Greek classes.
Yeah.
A missionary.
Please come anyways.
A missionary in Mormon country. And it's going to be a Mormon state pretty soon. If people don't wake up, this is going to be a Mormon state, the whole United States.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I'm interested since we don't live in California, what has been the Mormon influence here in California with Romney running? Are you talking about
lots of advertisements?
But in Bakersfield?
Well, no, but because the Democratic state, I mean, we vote Republican, but
like in your workplaces and stuff.
You talk about him and talk about what he believes at all?
Oh, they are just bashing.
Actually, my question
they
is,
don't like it.
Do they consider, do people consider him a Christian?
I think
that's what they're really pushing.
That's what
people who don't know what's up, they consider that guy a Christian. He's all right.
Okay, that's
but really, he's a pagan.
They're teaching now.
He's Antichrist.
What they didn't before. They changed to fit what is politically correct at the time. 50 years ago, they would want nothing to do with us ever. But now they want to be mainline Christian. They want to be thought of as an other denomination. And that's the question.
The worry.
That's
way to get
worry
it.
That, like you said, people that don't know, they'll come knocking on their door, the missionaries, and they will.
We're just another denomination.
The president's a Mormon, we're Christian, and then more people will come. That's their whole thing, too, but that's
do you know why they think they're Christian? Because they're the Church of Christ of Latter-day Saints. Jesus.
Church of Jesus Christ
of
Latter-day Saints.
I'm serious. You ask them, why do you think you're Christian? Well, we have Jesus in our name. I said, well, what if it was Jesus Christ of Satan? You know? I mean, you could put anything in your name. I knew a Mormon lady that didn't think that Emmanuel Baptist was a Christian church because it was about Emmanuel.
Yeah.
Well, if they believe Jesus Christ was a created being.
Created, yeah.
How could any in the church have him and say...
Because Joseph Smith is a descendant of Jesus Christ.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that.
He's a descendant. Yeah.
But
he's a descendant. Between Mary and him. When they came out with
everything he did is plagiarized.
Right. You know, this movie that came out here, the Da Vinci Code and all of that stuff? See, that was right down their alley. It's proving exactly that Jesus was a product of Mary and Mary Magdalene. This was right down their alley.
They'll change what they believe in order to conform to what the prevailing ideas are. We fully expect the church to have for the prophet to have a revelation that it's okay to have gay people to be married. Because if they're getting heat on it, they'll change real quick. They couldn't get the Olympics until they allowed alcohol in the state, so they had a revelation that they could sell alcohol. So.
Polygamy will be back.
Oh, yeah.
They allow polygamy.
When you got judges that are Mormons and you got juries that are Mormons, are they going to convict you?
You ask.
And when our Supreme Court becomes Mormon, you think they're going to do anything?
There's a lot of Mormons in government already.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, one of the greatest talk show hosts, Glenn Beck, one of the big shots, that man was the forerunner of Romney.
Yeah.
He, and people fell for him right and left.
Glenn Beck.
He just sets the stage for what we've got right here.
Yeah.
And they have been putting behind it. They have got millions. There is no, their political funds are bottomless. Mm-hmm. They have no limit.
They have the backing of the church. So
that's it. That's it.
So you think that the Mormon will hang out with the Muslim, make a deal with the Muslims?
If it came to the point where it would benefit them politically or financially, they would.
Yep.
And
that's what
ideologies are like.
Because people
their ideology, the Mormonism and Muslim.
They allow them to come into their churches and have
their
things.
Oh no, they would do anything with the Muslims.
Oh yeah. If it was beneficial to their church, they would.
Question I'd like to ask.
We have.
I have an answer I'd like to answer.
Feel free of my Spanish friends that they're a very prejudiced state, that they're very bigoted towards other colors.
Oh, yes, they are.
And Utah.
It's an underlying thing because it's part of
the... But they won't say it is. They'll say it's old. They didn't allow black people to be priests and go into the temple until the late 70s.
Yeah, right. They have another revelation.
A revelation.
Yeah. And that was because of other things, too.
They built a temple in Brazil, and they didn't realize that all of Brazil had black blood, so no one can go into the temple.
Yeah.
So then they had a revelation to allow them to go in.
Yeah.
Well, and some people think it had to do with sports, too.
Yeah. It's
well, how many people in your church are coming? How many people on a regular basis?
Regular.
But like here?
If everyone showed up, we would be like 15 to 20.
It's that hard.
And about half of them are Mormon or former Mormon.
Because I know how hard you work at it. That's what I was wondering. It's especially tough.
Because I've known you for a
long time.
This is something. Brother Ken is sound, doctrinally sound. You know, he's been in our... How long were your classes? 6, 8 years?
I was in here for at least 5, that I remember.
Okay. I think it was 6 or 8 years.
Because it was all 4 years of college plus at least a year before I started.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he was in my classes. When you went back to the seminary, it was all rehashed, you know.
Yeah.
you were ready. Easy sailing. I mean, there's a lot
of
stuff. It's not easy sailing. It's hard work. Anyway,
it was very, very hard.
But, I mean, you there was nothing. You had all the foundation there.
Oh, yeah.
And to protect you also
from
a lot of stuff. But you go over there in Mormonism. How many of you have ever led a Mormon to the Lord? Brother Ken? You're there.
That'd be pretty hard.
How many of you ever led one?
No.
Okay.
Well,
how many of you ever led
one that we talked to?
Yeah.
Was led to the Lord by someone else, but she had been under our teaching for like a
while.
I claim her.
Yeah, that's good. But look, now how many Jehovah Witnesses do you think that have been saved? We had one saved in this class, you know. Yeah, well, yeah. But we, every now and then, and I tell you what, in 5 minutes you take John 1:1, 1:14, 1:18, and they're done. Their theology is gone. It's over with.
They don't get that far.
Yeah.
They like that feeling.
But they believe the Bible is the thing.
No, they don't.
Yeah. The Mormons don't.
No.
Yeah, the Mormons don't. See, you've got a foundation with them. With Catholics. I've had hundreds of Catholics saved in my classes over the years. Hundreds of Catholics. But I haven't had one Mormon saved. Because they are Antichrist. Their whole foundation is Antichrist.
They have those systems that were built.
Well, they don't believe in God. They don't believe in God like the Bible believes in God. They all have some kind of reincarnation, spirit world, coming into the physical world, and all this kind of seance business. And of course, you know,
even in their temples, they talk about seeing spirits.
Yeah. The whole region has a demonic presence.
Do they have any charismatic Catholics over there? I know. I mean, not Catholics.
There's not very many Catholics.
I mean, not Catholic. Charismatic Mormons.
No, not that I know. Not,
well, I know
they
that they.
Keep them.
They keep it down. But charismatic. But see, your Muslims are charismatic. Your Catholics are charismatic. We got a whole bunch of so-called Christians that are charismatic, and we got the Mormons that are charismatic. They won't come out in public and say it, but they do. They have little groups. But you see that, and Brother Farrar said so many years ago, the charismatic movement is the binding of the tares. And he said, somehow in the world, sometime, a leader in America will come forward, this is what he used to say, and bind all of these religions together.
Yeah.
And bind all of the religions together. It's scary, isn't it? Is it not scary? Brother Ken is right in the middle of it. Boy, talk about a missionary out of our class. Right in the middle of it.
It's nice to get out of Utah.
Oh, boy. Well, you know what? They pull all the strings with the jobs, the water. Water is powerful.
Oh, absolutely.
Water. Everything. Taxes. All of that.
They say it's not, but... everything's run by them or influenced by them. I probably told you guys this before, but one of the guys we went out there to work with, he asked some developers if they would help them build, you know, because they plan an entire community and they'll have spots specifically chosen out for schools, and right next to the schools will be the seminary, the Mormon seminary building, and also all the LDS buildings. They'll plan it. And he said, we won't help you because you're the competition, and no one will help you. This kind of, they'll say, well, that's not what really happens. That's just him. But this recently blew up all over the papers. It was Mormons fighting against the church, which is really weird. What happened is they had promised this subdivision that they were going to build no higher than five?
Seven stories. Addition to their mission.
It's a mission complex where all the missionaries go to learn to be missionaries, and they send out. Actually, basically, all they do is go there and they memorize something and they leave. Because you get them off their memorization and they're done. But so they said, we promise. So all these people moved into this area. Then they said, oh, we're going to build up to like seven or nine stories.
Nine
stories. And it was going to completely block them off from the mountain. Just giant, ugly building. And they build everything concrete, block, really weird. 1984 kind of, you know, government's looking at you kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, but they're doing it for the big, you know, the tribulation period. They believe in the tribulation period.
So they got the Mormons that went to that war in that area, because they're forced to go where they're by the church. They came up and said, hey, this is not right. And what the church did, they came out and said, hey, this is a civil matter. This is not, has nothing to do with the church. You know, you guys go ahead and process it through the normal civic channels. Well, that gave them a boost, and more people started coming together to protest this new building going up. And then the apostles started coming out of Salt Lake in the church and telling people, called him in. It was an invitation. They were really, really nice. I'll invite you to come talk to me, and you better listen. It's not an invitation. It's you better do it. They invited him to change his position. He left that meeting. He was the leader of that movement, he said, I don't want nothing to do with it anymore. He stopped. And then it kind of boiled a little bit. And then they sent people to their church and talked to them. And everybody went out of there saying they gave up on it, allowing the church to build that building. So the church has power over all the people, even though the people won't say anything. Because they came down and squashed these guys like a bug. And they all stopped.
Well, Mormonism has been trying to take over America for 150 years. And they slowly, one brick at a time, they've worked on it. And that's it. And that's what you're seeing today. Simple as that. And, of course, you're over there in the nucleus of it.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Sometimes there are stronger Mormons outside of Utah than there is inside.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of strange. Because your Mormons here won't believe the same things the Mormons in Utah believe. It's just weird.
Well, they're not in the same context.
Mm-hmm. They'll trade out their they have presidents over different things, like presidents over the missionaries. Basically, it's the manager of the missionaries in that area. They'll switch those people out every 2 years and bring them back to the hive so that they don't get contaminated by us, I guess. Mm-hmm. But because more missionaries probably get saved in the mission field than we go and talk into a new person.
So think about that when they knock on your door.
Even if you just give them
a little bit of the gospel, they remember that.
If they don't listen to you, if you talk to them for an hour, they're not talking to someone else for an hour.
Yeah.
That's
how I do it. You know.
Yeah.
On my
you have a Utah.
Yeah.
Thing.
What is on there? What is that?
93313.
No. In the background, a beehive.
Oh yeah.
The beehive.
They're very much into symbolism.
Yeah. The beehive. Yeah. That means a lot to them. That's the beehive homes. That's the homes for multi wives. You know.
So we have just three 30 minutes south of us, there's an entire polygamous community.
Yeah.
That they don't. As long as you don't make waves, they'll let you do it. But as soon as you come out and you have your own TV show, like the Browns, they'll come after them.
They drop charges,
and now the Browns are suing for the right of bigamy. So, as long as you don't make waves and they don't get hurt politically, they'll let you do whatever you want to do.
Are you still working? Tell me about your work. It's fun. I work at the hospital in Tooele. We did a magnet, but I
Mormon hospital.
No,
that's a Catholic hospital.
Catholic Women's Hospital out of Tennessee.
This is
a smaller one, but
everybody
benefits.
Really?
The Catholic Church owns many, many hospitals.
Just
look at the situation we got for the Mormons and the Catholics in the same bed. Talk about power.
Mercy CHS.
Yeah, all these hospitals are Catholic.
Ten.
Power.
You're having a very, very tough time, Dan. Are they sending you? Is the church sending you any help up there?
Valley has been supporting us about a little over 2 years. So you guys have been.
Yeah.
As far as people, Utah is unfortunate in that churches tend to be territorial and competitive rather than cooperative. Because
I thought Mormons had to go to the church here really close to.
No, we're talking about Baptist churches or Christian churches.
Yeah. They're helping
and
them.
And
them.
These are my people. Don't take them from me.
Because we have so few.
Yeah.
Well, in Utah, you have so few, don't you?
I've gone to churches and asked for prayer help and bodies. I just want a warm body to sit in a chair. And they won't. They won't. So there's a pastor in Salt Lake Valley that wants us to fail because he doesn't like church plants.
He doesn't want you to compete.
They don't want any of their people because there are so few Christians.
Well, the evangelical presence, not just Baptist, any evangelical in the Salt Lake Valley, including all of Utah, including Idaho, 1.6% of the population.
1.6%. But I'm saying our church or no other organization, because you're a missionary, no missionary organization is not sending you any physical help.
No physical
help. You want to go to Utah?
So they funds, which are awesome, because it helps us, but no physical help.
You see that body over there? He wants to be a missionary.
Hey.
Yeah.
You want to be cured of that?
That's the thing. In the past year, we've had two church plants close up. Well, one close up and the families leave.
We've had four pastors leave. Well, actually, more than that. One, two, three, four, five, six.
Most of those people that are Christians there, do they come there? They're not really converted there, are they?
Not a lot converted. Most of them come there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of converted.
Dominantly coming here alone.
Yeah.
And you don't have other Christians, so it's hard about the people coming in.
You can go to communities and no one will give you a job.
Not going to get one.
Because you're not Mormon.
First thing they ask.
My cousin, my nephew, Anthony, came out to live with us for a while and they wouldn't give him a job. And they grilled him for 2 hours about what I did there.
But
so, it's not every place.
Yeah, it's not.
And, but it's still out there. I mean,
brother, when you tried to get a water permit for the church,
well,
you were talking about that one time when you were going.
You could buy land, but you can't build on it until you buy water rights. So I think Utah is the second driest state in the Union. So you have to buy water rights, and they'll arrest you if you try to collect water in a stinking blue barrel off your house. But you could buy land, but then you got to get someone to sell it to you, right? So if you want to buy stuff from me, and I'm a good Mormon, and maybe he's my bishop, you know, well, what are you going to do there? Oh, you're going to build a church? I'm going to think about it. Well, he's going to tell me no. And if he's the one that is in charge of my temple recommend, which means he's in charge of my salvation, because without a temple recommend, I can't do temple stuff. Without a temple recommend, I can't be temple married to my wife and be lived together forever in all eternity. Without him, I can't get to the celestial kingdom. So I'm going to listen to what he says. Right? Because he controls my salvation by that piece of paper and the recommend for me to go to the temple. So if you ask me what if you can buy some water rights, and I have extra water rights, and if I ask him, he says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. Because if I give it to you, then he can yank my recommend.
Actually, that's one of their questions. They have questions.
The whole thing.
One of them is if you associate yourself.
Do you associate with apostates?
And I don't know if that's necessarily former LDS or...
We're not apostates who never believed. It's better not to ever believe than to have believed. Because if you believed and left, you go
Muslim. Muslim religion is exactly the same. The Muslim religion is exactly
murderers
the same.
Go to heaven?
Wow. Everybody goes to heaven.
Everybody goes to heaven. There's no hell with Mormonism.
Unless you
leave the church.
That's it.
Nobody goes. Remember last week or week before I talked about there was no hell in Mormonism, basically, except
there's
for Mormons.
There's three levels of heaven.
Yeah.
And we get to go to number two heaven.
Because we're Christians.
We're Christians and we're decent people. Three is for people who don't believe anything at all. You know,
thieves, criminals,
you know, murderers, they get to go to the third heaven. The third one.
When the Mormons hear me preach about hell, and no Dr. Pepper in hell, and nobody in hell.
I don't think there's any Dr. Pepper.
I mean to tell you, well, there's no Dr. Pepper, no water, no peanut butter and jelly, no nothing. And hell, there's nothing there, and they don't get to talk to anybody. It's all silence and all dark and all this kind of stuff. They just can't hardly. First of all, they've never been exposed to anything like that at all.
They're not taught.
No, they're not taught.
We went to this is really good. We went to a service. They call it a sacrament meeting, and of course they pride themselves on not having paid clergy. Well, they basically pride themselves on not having clergy at all. So they're LDS but not good LDS. They were picked to do a talk, and we'll do it like in here. I'll do an explanation example rather than tell you because it's easier to understand. We'll say this is a Mormon ward. And we're all here, and Jim, because he's so awesome, you know, he shakes the right hands. He's the bishop. So he's going to pick people to talk on a Sunday. So you're going to talk, and you're going to talk on faith. That's what our friend talked on, our guy friend. And, okay, you're going to talk on humility, right?
And that's what our other friend talked on. So they're tagged to talk. So when they sing the three songs, and they're really, really boring songs, and they come up, and no one's paying attention at all. No one. And just think about if you guys are talking amongst yourselves, you know, it took probably over a year to get our Mormon family just to pay attention. Because they're not used to it.
And after we went to the service, we're like,
oh, that's why. So you're picked. So you get up here and you go, well, how am I supposed to do this? Well, he'll give you the material. He won't give you the Bible. He'll give you the InSign, which is like Mormon magazine. Right? And they talk about Mormon stuff.
Just like your Jehovah's Witnesses from the Watchtower.
So he'll give you the InSign, and then you'll get all your information about faith in the InSign. And then he'll give you InSign, and you get all your information about humility out of the InSign. Well, it won't talk about that without faith it's impossible to please God. It won't talk about by grace we are saved through faith. It won't talk about that. It'll talk about how wonderful your faith is. And it's fluff. I mean, it's worse than Joel Osteen. It's fluff. Fluff. And everybody goes out there
smiling,
as much dead or more so than when they came in. And then guess what? Next week, it's going to be you and you. There's no continuity in teaching. You know how Jim takes you from one place and leads you across? How about if you're at the same place and you never left it and you just get taught different things? They're never brought anywhere. They're not taught.
So they don't know what a spiritual feeling is, actually.
No, they don't know anything.
The Holy Ghost.
They don't know what they believe. Because they'll just talk on topics. And it could be, you know, you don't know anything about the topic. You don't have to be trained to be a preacher. Right? Basically, you need the Bible. But they're not even given that. And if you keep enough people who don't know what they're doing telling people, they're never going to grow. They're never going to go. They're never going to go on that road of sanctification.
Separate, divide, and conquer.
Yeah, they keep them stupid. Mm-hmm. It's the same. I liken it to the Catholic Church only allowing the Latin Bible in early ages, because no one could read it, no one could understand it, so no one could.
Yeah.
And if you can control their knowledge, you got control of them.
When you look at church history and you look what the Catholic Church did, and the state churches and the conquering and everything, you see the history of Mormonism. Because the Catholic Church, well, now we've got two of them. you got a Catholic and a Mormon. Anyway, but you look through there and you said, and the Catholics, if the Mormons were that powerful, they would do exactly what the Catholic Church did in the Dark Ages. They would bring on the Dark Ages.
They did somewhat in the late 1800s.
Yes.
And then they had the Danites. You remember the Danites?
Oh, yeah.
Probably in cowboy history.
Yeah.
The Danites were, they're like his squad mercenaries.
You would call Carol.
They'd go after and get them and kill them.
Yeah.
What they would do is say, like, you are apostate. You left the church and you let everyone know it. I mean, this is, you know, 1800s, cowboys and all that stuff. Everyone's wearing a sidearm on their hip. And you said, you know, I talked to this traveling Methodist minister on his horse, and he told me about this, and I believe what he says, and I'm not going to do this Mormon thing anymore. Well, Bill and I, we're good Mormons. We're Danites. Right? So my prophet was to say, hey, Ken, Bill, go get him. We'll go to you. You'll know exactly who we are and what we're there for. You'll fix your affairs. We'll walk you out. You'll dig your own grave, and we'll slit your throat. Because they seriously believe in blood atonement. That's the only way you're atoned.
And they got that from the Masonic Lodge.
And they use that angel of death.
Because you will slit your own throat. And that's exactly when you take the Mormon.
No.
Or the Masonic Lodges.
Yeah. We're helping you. It is helping you because you have to atone for your sin. But I've talked to people, and they're still finding bodies. Yeah. From way back then when they're doing new buildings and stuff. And they'll dig up bodies. I mean, for hundreds of years ago. But still, they can't deny it, but they don't talk about it.
John Smith used the Vinnie Angel group until they became a deficit rather than an asset to his religion, and then he banned them from Utah.
They'll say that they weren't official, that they didn't have nothing to do with them. They were sent out. Brigham Young used them a lot.
The Nathan Mountain Massacre, too.
Yeah.
There's another one. The history is full of it.
They killed everybody above the age of 8. And they lie to them. They said, hey, there's a lot of Indians in this neck of the woods. We will march you across. We don't know who you are, so give us your guns. And each adult will have a Mormon counterpart, and we'll escort you across the southern part of Utah and keep you safe. At a certain point, they turned and shot them all.
Because they
took their guns, yeah, and they killed them.
Took
all their stuff and took their kids. They ate below.
The United States at one time declared war on the Mormons. They declared war on them.
I wouldn't doubt that. That's why they don't want to. They don't teach their history. They have a big problem right now that people are going online and finding things out. A big problem.
Well, the DNA, all of this stuff is coming out, but they just keep telling their people, you've got to have faith. You've got to have faith. This is all, the devil's inventing all this stuff. This stuff was all an invention. Even DNA is an invention of the devil. They'll tell you, well, you just can't reach them. That's why they're so hard to reach. But we've got a presence there. Out of this class, we have a presence there, people. We've got a presence.
Trying.
Yeah, we got a presence. Brother, you're right over here on the board, right there.
A thousand of them a day.
Oh, you come up here. You guys come up here and do it. David, give that to David. We got Brother Ken. No. You want funny prayer requests on there or whatever?
Yes.
We love having you here. And this, I was going to teach on Matthew, the 24th chapter. And we were going to look behind the curtain because I was going to go over. We're looking at some really bad stuff in the second coming. But there's some really good stuff that's going to happen after that. And I was just going to walk you over there to Revelation, the 5th chapter, and Romans, the 8th chapter, and tell you all of the beautiful things in there. But we will get that. Brother Ken, it's good to have you here. And I'm going to tell you something. This is going to reach. Well, last month we had 100 to 150,000 visitors and downloads.
Yeah.
Oh, we have 4 websites now. Discover the Word with Dr. Jim. You saw that one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's over 200 videos on it.
Nice.
And guess what? Guess what? Yeah, we got it up.
And you're going to put us up there.
Yeah.
In trouble.
They'll kill you.
Has anybody ever been to Hawaii?
Jim.
Yeah, have you been to the cultural center?
Yeah.
That's all my Mormons. You sign in there, when you get home, there are going to be Mormons on your door. It's owned and ran by Mormons.
Stuff like that. I've been to the
Polynesian Cultural Center. I don't know where it is. I haven't been. Our vacation is coming to Bakersfield in the hottest week of the year. That's our vacation. Not Hawaii.
Last week was probably the hottest. Were you here last week?
We got here Monday.
Oh, yeah, you got here in the hottest week? Well, for 10 days before, that was 115 every day out there.
Yeah.
Ken used to come out and help me on the farm.
Yeah.
We would study tape and study histories and things together. And
Marilyn would feed us.
Yeah. Anyway, we had a good time. That was years and years ago. Yeah. I was younger then.
Hasn't been that long.
Yeah. Well, it's been 10 years at least.
Wow.
Well, more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been 10 years. How long have you been gone?
We left in 08.
In 08, 2008. So that's 4 years.
No, we left 2004.
No, I graduated in 08. We left in 04.
04. Well, so that's, you're gone 8 years.
Yeah, and we started here in 99.
Yeah.
Because that's when I started.
Yeah, 1999 in my classes, I was teaching the gospel according to John. And Alma was a Greek scholar. That little girl has soaked up everything Greek.
She's still
smarter. I have taught. Tonight, I will teach 100 Hebrew classes as of tonight.
Really?
We're in the 31st chapter of the book of Genesis.
Excellent.
And so, and we taught all the way through there. Boy, I talk about some revelation in there. That's good. You ought to go online and you can watch those or listen to them either way.
Absolutely.
And online, the Genesis. Everything that I taught you, the little bits and pieces that I taught you in the classroom, it's in depth in those classes.
Oh, good.
So
good,
it's.
Good.
And this is the stuff that they don't get. Any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took my ladies to a Beth Moore study on David, and they've never even, you know, they know maybe David and Goliath story. They never knew anything about David's life.
Yeah. Well, we went through, also, we've gone through all the whole testament and Bible in 8 ages. We're on 200. This is 280 class or something. I think it's the 280th class, something like that right now. But we went through all the whole Old Testament. I appreciate it. I appreciate you being here. Boy, it was a blessing. You want to come back here too?
No.
He's been here since March.
He has.
He's been working in the fields, making money for college.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And there's Dakota over there hiding out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marilyn is in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's gone.
Well,
let's go into the book of Matthew for just a moment. We got just a few moments. Okay. Just a moment. Boy, this was great. Did you guys love that?
Yeah.
I loved it. We loved it. And it's good. Because they need to hear this all over the world. And they will. All right, Matthew, the 24th chapter. We got 15 and 16 last week. Now, what we're talking here is the end times. The church has already been raptured. All the saved are gone. God has turned to Israel. He's gonna warm their bottoms up. Simple as that. He's going to get them ready. Two out of every three Jews are going to die. And right here, now, right what happens here, we talked about the abomination, the desolation. We went back to Daniel. We went back to Ezekiel. We went to the book of Revelation to different places. And see what you missed, Brother Abe, last week? He was over there in Korea. All right. And number 17. And let him who is in the... These are the Jews now, in the land of Israel. And these are Jews. And it says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to get the things out that are in his house. When you see and hear, and by the way, there's television in all the world now. How many of you have got these little iPads and things that you can look on the internet and see everything going on? It talked about in the book of Revelation that the whole world would see the witnesses in the book of Revelation murdered on the streets. They will be able to do that. They will be able to do it. There's a man of sin coming up. And it's scary. You know what? If you want to go hear me teach 40 years ago and teach the book of Revelation, you can go listen to the website. It goes all the way back to 1972 and 73 on there. There's old sermons that I did. You go listen to the book of Revelation back then that I did. And then you look at it today. Back then we didn't have an inkling of what's going on. I talked about stuff that's common facts now. They know where every person in the world is. It's very easy to give you the mark of the beast, and we may already have it, the Social Security number. We talked about that here a while back. No God, no guns, and no gold when I did that sermon. But we see all of this. It's all already in place. Already in place. And we see people just swept off the feet, even... If it wasn't for the Lord and the rapture, even the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ would be deceived. And boy, are they being deceived today. When the churches line up with the state. Remember when I taught about that? All of you people that took church history, Baptist fault, church, state, and now they're lining up politically correct. All of this. And here I am, an old, wild Indian. You know, this heathen, standing still for those principles of Baptists that we've stood for 2,000 years for a reason. Okay? And when I see this stuff, it just scares me to death. I don't talk much politics. Because there's not much good out there to talk about. It's all brainwashing. It's all baloney. This country is run by big business and talk radio. That's it. That's who's running this country, not you. And they're telling you all kinds of baloney and just filling you full of it. Just full all the time. It tells these Jews, now after the rapture takes place and gets us out of there, then God's going to start dealing with the Jews and the Gentiles because what they've done, because they are rejected. And there's going to be a lot of people saved during this period of time. I don't think there's going to be very many Mormons saved because there's really a bad deal over there. Because they don't have enough information to get saved, okay? There's a real problem with Mormons. There's a real problem with somebody who's been totally brainwashed from the time of the cradle. This is hard to dealing with them, okay? But we need a presence over there, and we got one out of our class. And we're proud of you people. We're proud of you. Let those that are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to get out that are in the anything in the house, and let him who is in the field not turn back to get his coat. Leave right now. You don't have time. It's too late. When you see the abomination desolation take place, that's in the middle of the week. In the tribulation period. That's when everything's going to go bad. That's when our Antichrist stands up in the temple over there in Jerusalem and says, I am God. You worship me as God now. Got a new revelation. A new revelation. They had made a contract with the Jews for 7 years. But now the contract is broke. And when they do that, something is going to change in their wicked, dark hearts. Right now, I'm telling you what, they're living in open rebellion against God, those Jewish people are. But one of these days, God's going to turn them around. He's going to turn them around. Let him who is in the field not turn back or get his cloak, but woe to those who are with child and those who nurse babes in those days, but pray that your flight be not in winter or on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now or even shall. And unless those that be cut short, no life would be have been saved but for the sake of the elect. Who's the elect there? Who's the elect here? Israel. There's two elections in the Bible, absolute elections, of an economy election, the church and Israel. And that's a solid election. The church is gone. The church is enjoying her honeymoon. All right? Right down here on earth, hell's breaking loose. Because the devil and all his cohorts. I wrote his name up here in many ways today. I kind of erased it with my back. Lucifer, Apollyon, Diabolos, the devil, Satan, Abaddon, all of these are him. And I'm going to tell you something. That rat's in power today. It, man, he's got a hold of Washington, D.C. He's got a hold of 1415 Truxton Avenue down here. He's running all of America. And he's got the whole world. When Jesus was being tempted in Matthew, the 4th chapter, old Satan said, look out there. See all of that? It's mine. I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me. Was he lying? He still got it. You get over there in a place like you where the darkest... I tell you what, you couldn't be in the darkest parts of Africa and be any more pagan than where you are. The darkest parts of Africa are no more pagan than that. As a matter of fact, you can lead them to the Lord. But when you talk to somebody that has totally been separated from God and everything that convicts them of their being a God and every rational thinking of their mind is totally confused, it's really rough. Talk about a mission field. That's the hardest mission. That's iron. That's iron, boy. But for the sake of the elect and the days be cut short, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is Christ or there is Christ, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise. Boy, have they. And will show great signs and wonders. Yes, they will. Great signs and wonders.
That's true because we've talked to people that say, well, all this happened to me in my life.
Yeah.
As a sign. It's a miracle of God. Like a miracle that happened. And so they attribute that to God. So Mormonism is right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all feeling and God guided me. But if there was anything guiding them at all, it wouldn't be God but Satan. Because Satan takes care of his own, doesn't he? You know we have demon spirits. People are protected by demon spirits. Did you know that? The people that are sold out. They protect. You know we have protective. Yeah, I've got protection. I've got guardian angels. I've wore them out. You know, let's go on just a little bit further. I'm going to turn you loose. It will show great signs and wonders so that he will mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I've told you in advance. Therefore, when they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go for. Behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. And wherever the corpse is, there the vultures gather. That little old last statement there. You know what it means? What's that last little statement? Wherever the corpse is, that's where the vultures gathered. Last week, Charlie died, my little llama. My little sweet llama. We were out there trying to protect him with the vultures flying all over. They saw Charlie down. He was laying down. We had him covered up with a little shade on him and everything. We walked away from there, and those vultures got out there and started eating on him. We had to come out, and he had sores on him when they had bit him. Already, ready. Wherever they see somebody dead, there come the vultures. And what it means here, people, we live in a dead world. We live in a dead world, and the vultures, the demons are coming. And the God is going to turn loose demons on Venus. He's going to open up the bottomless pit and turn them loose. Those terrible demons that take form like crickets, like scorpions, grasshoppers, those that walked on Akritos. Remember the word Akritos, on tiptoes. Well, that's what you got for today. I was going to go behind the curtain in Matthew or in Revelation, the 5th chapter, and show you that book, the title deed that Jesus has. The title deed that He's going to get back from that devil. But brother and sister, thank you so much. Oh, man. No, you didn't mess me up. You made it good. They'll have something to look forward to next week. Come up here and dismiss us in prayer in a minute. Brett, you're going to come up here, bring the prayer request, and we're going to have Brother Ken come up here and dismiss us in prayer. Okay? You're going to do the prayer request, and he's going to do the dismissal.
We'll just go over them, and then he can pray at the end.
That's right.
Okay, that's cool. Okay. All right, so we got Bill. He's praying for Jerry and Midget Conley. Bill, what is that all about? We're going to pray at the end, Bill. Bill, we're going to pray at the end.
Okay.
He's praying for us at the end. We're talking about the prayers right now. Jerry and Midget Conley, what do you want to pray for them for?
He's half hard. He's not going to make it. He's got dialysis 4 times a week.
Okay.
He's still a fairly young man, 58. I'm sorry, I was just praying.
No, I know. I said your name, so you probably thought I would just say your name. Okay, sorry about that. Joanne, she prays for a new school year and for all the kiddos to have a great year. And Dakota prays for her dad's overall health. We're going to make sure Jim stays around so we can get some more stuff from him. And the Lord's not done with you yet.
I know that because I'm here.
And the brother in Iraq, I guess you guys have a son or a brother in Iraq.
A brother in Iraq.
And then we want Dakota's fiance to get, you know, to come closer to the Lord.
I want him to get saved.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
And Anna, we pray for Sarah. She's getting nervous about starting junior high, which I don't blame her. I was too. We pray for her to have, you know, not to be fearful of her teachers. And then for Anna's father's living arrangements.
Pray for Montana. He's studying for the ministry.
Pray for
he
Mountain.
He wants to be a missionary. And boy, how did we introduce you to one today?
That's the Mountain.
Yeah, that's Montana. And remember, Marilyn and her friends up in Alaska right now.
Okay. And we have Fernando. He prays for all the guys at work. He wants to make sure that they're not knuckleheads.
Yeah.
You got to do your back stuff. Make them encourage you. And then we have, I can't really read this, Jim. What does it say?
Well, I don't know. I can't even read
English. That's Montana. Yeah, it's really small.
Oh, right? His family is up in Alaska.
For family difficulties. We pray for that your family.
And you've got a family up in part of them in Alaska, too. Yeah, they're up in Alaska, too. Okay. So remember them. Are we ready, Brother Ken?
No, we're not done. We still got three more people to talk about.
Okay.
Okay. And David, we pray for his daughter Sarah and his family to come to church. And Abe, praise the Lord for all answered prayers, I guess, huh? For getting back from Korea.
And here.
Safe trip from Korea. And John Marsh, pray that his youngest son, Brian, would come back to Jesus. And thanks for answered prayers for Brett. My son actually come and talk to me finally again. So.
Amen.
But he is going to the Army, which is, we got to pray for that. And Ken, and Alma, we just thank you guys for coming and doing such a great job.
I tell you, this is...
You guys are awesome.
This is wonderful. Come up here, brother. Yeah, it is so good to have you with us and share what you shared today with us. I've been trying to tell these people this, but they don't. They look at me like I'm the devil.
Jim, don't shortcut us. We're going to start there again next week at the beginning.
We will.
I won't bother you.
It's there. Okay. If I knew you were here, I didn't. Well, you did anyway, but I was going to have you. If I had just known this.
I was thinking about calling you, but I said, I want a surprise.
Well, I know, but I wouldn't even have. This wouldn't have been on the board.
But, all right. Is that all the prayer requests? All right, when you're praying, just pray for Alma and I.
pray for our physical health, for our spiritual health. It's
how's your baby?
Laura and Mike that are helping us.
Laura and Mike. Do you know Laura got married?
Yes.
She's married. She's got a baby. We're grandparents.
Uh huh.
Little Jake is 1 and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they're helping us out. So he's my co-pastor. He just graduated from Liberty University. And he's going to be going, he's starting Golden Gate Seminary in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
So he's my co-pastor. He's actually, he will be preaching in about 6 hours. We have evening services rather than morning services.
Okay.
So, if there's nothing else, we'll pray. All right. Father God, you are a great and mighty God. I just want to thank you, Lord God, for giving us your awesome holy word that we can have confidence in it, that you've protected it over the millennia so that we can have something solid to stand on, something solid to found our faith, our belief. I thank you, Lord God, that it's all about you. I thank you, God, that you sent us this awesome letter to tell us how much you love us, to tell us who you are, to tell us who we are, and how desperately we need your Son. I thank you, Lord God, that you've given it to man the ability to search out the awesomeness of your word and to teach it in amazing ways. I thank you, Lord God, so much for teachers around the world, and specifically today, Jim, that they stand here after hours of preparation and that we can understand how awesome you truly are. I pray, Lord God, for everybody on our list. We've got a lot of people, Lord God. We've got medical issues. We've got travel issues. We've got people going to other parts of the world. We have people going to the military. We have people preparing for ministry. Lord God, you know each and every single one of these things that are going on. And I pray you just bless the socks off them. Help us, Lord God, no matter where you send us, no matter what you have in store for us, whether you've designed us to be the next Billy the Graham or the next Kool-Aid stirrer in church, that whatever you would have us to do, that we would do it for your glory. I pray, Lord God, you just help us to keep us teachable. Help us that we're always malleable to your will and not our own. Bless us as we go our different ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
I got little doohickeys here if you want to get a hold of us.
We got you up here.